Hey, Gail, how you doing there, buddy?
Good morning, John. Yeah, sorry for catching you on the air a little while ago.
Well, I'm on the air now. That's now we're officially on the air with the Winners and Losers
program.
I got to figure out how to call Rita here, right? She wants to call right
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, you call Rita, and I think she'll have you hooked up to Penny for the so we can all talk.
So I will call Rita at 3. Okay, I'm going to call her right now. Just hang on here while I call her, okay?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Why don't you... hold on a second here.
We're going to... sorry about the conferences here on the air, but we're going to be... This is Gail Becker. We're going to be speaking this morning with a couple of people who are heavily involved in the anti-human trafficking movement, and I was to one of their meetings the other day, and boy, they are really committed. We're going to be talking with Rita Newman. She's with the Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force in Shepherdstown, and also with Penny K. Hofflinger, and operates, among other things, a site where she can give young people that have been trafficked a little bit of rest from the trauma. But anyhow, hopefully we'll have them on the line shortly.
Hold on, I'm still doing. Hold on, I missed out. I have to dial it again. 04. No, it's 330. 330 352.
It should be in that last message that
8917. It is 8917. Okay, and so we're gonna. Okay, we're dialing her now. She should see if she comes on here.
Good morning.
Good morning. Is this Rita?
This is Rita.
Hi, this is John Case.
Hi, John.
Good morning. Sorry, this is Gail Becker, Rita, and of course,
morning,
John
Gail.
Case. Okay, sorry about all the confusion at the last minute, but
okay,
go ahead, John.
Ahead and dial. I'll go ahead and dial in.
No, you're good. We're on the air.
Do you have
now.
Penny?
No, I don't, but she
do
can call.
She,
just have her dial 304-885-0708.
Okay, well, guys, this is going to be a little difficult because
do you have to call her?
Yeah, just, yeah.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I dialed...
Hang on 1 second. It'll take only a minute, so hang on.
Okay, all right.
All right,
we're having... Just hold on while we're getting our technical stuff to hear together this morning, and...
Yeah.
It's okay. This is this is typical internet radio stuff, so we can edit this out. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
That's why you can edit things on the internet so a little bit, but it's okay. Gail.
I was amazed at some of the things that Rita, Penny, and others were talking about the other day when I was to a one of their task force meetings in Shepherdstown, and among other things.
Okay, so good morning, everybody.
Hi. Rita, why don't you introduce yourself, and Penny, why don't you introduce yourself as well in your own words to the program, and thank you for appearing this morning. I know you've been working on this matter for a long time, and why don't you Just take the lead, Rita. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Rita Neiman. I moved to this area about 3 years ago, but before then we were at the University of Pittsburgh, where I have to admit, rather late in life, my eyes were opened up to the whole problem of human trafficking through a film that was called Not for Sale. And once I saw that film, which handled really more international type perspective, I realized that I was seeing it all around me. And in the process, got involved with some other great people and just learned a lot. And when I moved here to West Virginia and Maryland, I actually live in Kedysville, I had the honor and privilege of meeting Penny K. Hofflinger, who is a survivor of human trafficking and a true freedom fighter. So, Penny K., introduce yourself.
Oh, my, there was such... I picked up Rita and Penny, such emotion at the meeting the other day over this, over her history as a survivor and what you were, all of you were doing to change some of this for other people. But please go ahead.
I'm Penny K. Hofflinger, and I am a survivor of human trafficking. I'm also the founder of Coffee House Farm. Ever since 2011, I have been opening my mouth and educating individuals, groups, or just personal individuals on the human trafficking and how traffickers lure young people into their web of trafficking. There is a book of my life that is being sold on Amazon. I also designed a workbook called Avoiding the Octopus, which tells how not to get caught in the web. I am very, very much an activist in this and fighting this. I was actually, my first husband is the one that trafficked me the first time, and my children were stolen here in the United States and black marketed and was sold for sex to a group of people in Kansas. So when I'm out fighting this, I'm fighting from the heart because I know the pain that goes in this and what you have to go through to heal. I'm very much to prevent this. It is like I want to do more preventiveness because once you're broken and that it's so hard in the healing. So to help young people to not get caught in it so that they're not broken is my objective in this whole thing. So I hope that helps explain who I am.
Well, thank you for being who you are. And let me ask you a question. Preventing it from happening or keeping children safe, what is the first... You must have a list in your mind of things that are the most important things, or changes, or adjustments, or education, whatever. What are the most important things to make progress on that?
Is to start talking, to not turn your head and think, oh, this doesn't happen to my family. This doesn't happen in my neighborhood. To be aware, to take a wider vision, to look at and know. And also, because we're in the technology world, to actually know what's on the cell phones of everybody, not just your children, but on a pastor or a school teacher or the next door neighbor, you know, exactly what is being put out there. And to talk, you know, about the new technology. I mean, sometimes the young people that I work with, they blow me away because they'll tell me about these little apps that they get and that right. they can get. And it's like, okay, explain that to me. You know, I didn't grow up with a cell phone. So, and it's like, And even if they get a little angry at you, it's better that they get a little angry at you because you're asking too many questions than to have to be rescuing them or to find them dead after a trafficker has gotten done with them. You know, I mean, I was in an AA group last night. I have 38 years of sobriety. And it was amazing to me that after my AA, that there was people that approached me and said, every time you mention human trafficking, it tears up my heart. And they told some of the stories of what they had encountered when they was in the United States and overseas. And it's like you just got to talk it. You just, you know, because people, I really believe that there's a lot of closet human trafficking that has happened that people are holding, and the more we talk about it, the more that the education comes out there, the more that people will open up and start saying, you know, this is what's happened, and this happened, but this is what's happening today. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, to do the preventiveness, it means that you've got to get next to people. I mean, you can't just do a program and go and set in and get all of these 1, 2, 3, this is what we need to do. You've got to make that connection with people in the grocery store, in the drugstore, at the gas station. You know, I have a health issue, and I had an echogram of my heart on Friday. The lady that was doing the thing, I said, well, I've got to stay on my feet. I said, I got too much work to do, and talked about human trafficking. She opened her mouth and told about, as a young girl, how she had got sexually abused, but then how she was being sold. Okay, as she grew into a young lady. Now, you know, I mean, that is how, you know, when you do that and you open those doors like that, that's how the preventiveness starts. It's getting to know people and opening your mouth. I mean, I'm always saying I have a big mouth, and yes, I would rather not talk about the pain that happened to me. I would rather not do that. But the pain that I go through to talk about what happened to me means that someone, some young person out there, will not get caught up in this trafficking. You know, even if it's a servitude or a labor or the organ harvesting, which is starting to grow very much, the stealing of children, and people are adopting children and finding out that the children was not put up for adoption, they were stolen. And then these families have these adopted children, and they weren't really up for adoption. They were stolen and then put through that, through the whichever agency that they was going through.
Right.
I know that. I mean, I know how that happens, and that. So we just got to keep talking, you know.
Let me ask you, trafficking is a crime. Is that correct?
Oh,
yes, it is. Is it a state crime? Is it both a federal crime and a state crime? Both in West Virginia?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I think that's one of the big problems that we have, is that Sometimes I wonder if the word human trafficking isn't actually blocking people from understanding what it is they're looking at. So if you go on the Blue Campaign Homeland Security website, it clearly defines for you what human trafficking is. But it was interesting because when we had the teach-in here October 17th, we had J. Robert Leslie, who is the Deputy Attorney General, come and talk about it. And he said he was just that day training sheriffs, and he goes around and trains police departments, and he'll say to them, "Well, guys, do you have any problem with human trafficking in your area?" And they go, no. He says, "Well, do you ever have any people who are drug addicted who end up selling their children?" "Oh, yeah, that happens all the time." Well, that's human trafficking. It's just that even our law enforcement isn't used to that term, because human trafficking is modern day slavery, and it involves the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act. And one of the big problems is that there is no such thing as a young prostitute. If a child under the age of 18 is caught in what looks like prostitution, they're being trafficked. That is the law. That is the law of the United States as well as of West Virginia. And West Virginia has been slow in changing its laws, but it's getting there thanks to people like J. Robert Leslie, who's really trying to make a difference and trying to raise awareness and train the people who can enforce this.
So
it rarely, if I could insert something here, this is Gail. It really upsets me when I read newspaper reports constantly. Well, I read the headlines. I don't really want to read the text, but anyhow, prostitute arrested for such and such. And you know, if you read down through those stories, rarely do they ever say that the John was arrested. You know, and as Rita says, this isn't necessarily prostitution. It's sex trafficking by force. Why aren't they arresting the Johns as well? But go ahead, Rita, please.
You know, I think one of the things that has for years made me question, even back to my early childhood years of being taught the Bible, the woman is brought to Jesus because she has been caught in adultery and they're going to stone her. Well, my question is, doesn't it take two to tango? Why is only the woman brought to Jesus because she's caught in adultery? And the thing that I find, just recently I was very upset with a newspaper in Martinsburg because they had like 7 pictures of women who had been arrested for prostitution. And no pictures of customers, no pictures of pimps, you know. I don't even like the word Johns, because there's a lot of nice men in this world whose name is John. You know, they really
Thank
are.
You.
There are good
Thank
men
you,
left in this
That's
world.
That's my name. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so I don't like I don't even like calling them Johns. They are purchasers of sex. That's what they are. I mean, we shouldn't ever need to purchase human beings. You know, we can't buy love. It can't be bought. But, the sad part that I have found through the years is that almost every person that I've had the privilege to talk to who was strong enough to be able to admit the pain of their past. Almost always, if you ask far enough back, these young people, and it is sometimes men, not just girls, they were molested as children by someone who they trusted. Someone in their family or someone close friend, relative, that kind of thing. These people were broken before they ever had a chance in life. And once a person's broken that way, then somehow the traffickers can see that. There is a sadness in their eyes. There's this lack of confidence. So why does he pick girl A and not girl B? Well, girl B is spunky and full of herself, and she's going to say, yeah, okay. But girl A, what, you think I'm beautiful? You know, really? Yeah, and because they have that broken spirit, and they don't see the beauty in themselves. And that is what these guys will build on. Oftentimes, they start off as pretending to be their lovers, pretending to date them, and then you lure them further and further into the net, and, well, you love me, you'll do this for me. And of course, once she's given up her virginity, then, well, we're out of money, you've got to do this for me just once. And yeah, very quickly she is just taken advantage, and then he changes his tune. He's no longer loving. He's no longer kind. He's beating and threatening. And people want to believe this is anywhere in the United States or anywhere in the world, but not in their zip code. And I don't know. Penny, what do you think? Is it in every zip code in America?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's very much in every zip code in America. And it's like what was taught there at the teach-in. It's like we got to stop the money. If you can get the money stopped, then, you know, then but as long as that money flows, yeah, you know, and that's where the fight comes in, because I was 6 years old when I was raped on the school ground, okay, by a 14-year-old boy coming home from school. And, yes, my broken spirit. And from that point on, it was just a nightmare of abuse. But the thing is, and that's what the traffickers are looking at, you know. I mean, I didn't, my first husband, yes, I thought I would never get anything better, and because I didn't deserve anything better. And he made sure, you know, in the beginning, it was like the luring and then the grooming of me. And then afterwards, it was like, oh, who are you and who would want you? And just the mental torture that goes with it. You know, mental torture is worse than the beatings. I mean, beatings are bad. I don't misunderstand me. But the mental torture that they do is even worse because you still have those down days. I mean, there are times I still look in the mirror and go, who do I think I am? And, you know, and some of the old tapes will come back to my head. And that's what you fight. And that's what you have to help with these young people. And it is young men and young girls. And the thing is that I see that we've got to do more education with the males. We've got to understand and educate them that, hey, there's another outlet. You do not have to do pornography. You do not have to sit in front of a screen and watch this stuff and then go act on it. I know that pornography is connected to human trafficking. I know that.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's like, hello, you know, we've got to have more outlets. We, you know, I mean, it's like if you go on to, I'm going to use this as an example. If a family is going somewhere to like a hockey game, and there's a neighbor kid that, you know, doesn't really have anything in the whole world, what stops you from inviting that young man or young girl to go with you, you know? But we get so isolated that we don't reach out, and that tragic girl sees that and walks in and says, hey, you know what? I can take you here. I can take you there. I can do this for you. And then once it's got you locked in, it's like, okay, now I need you to do this for me because I care about you so much, but I need you to do this. And then you're locked. And then the whole thing starts. It's like, you know, I'm involved in a number of groups here in West Virginia and Martinsburg. And, you know, and they will talk about that their youth group went here and that. And I ask them, I point blank ask them, what about the neighbor kids that doesn't have the money to go? And they just like look at me. They never even think about that person. And so I educate them, you know, and of course I have to speak about my own life. But that's where it's at. I mean, we've got to become a community, not isolated people. We got to become more community on that. So that we know, and people are feeling like they are cared about instead of just an object. And you know, I mean, I every day I'm always like trying to figure out what is my next step. How do I keep educating? How do I, you know, I'm in the process of writing another book called Hopelessness to Hope. And, you know, and that's where the young people get to that hopelessness. If they happen to be gay, so what? I mean, they get kicked out of their family. They get kicked out of their organizations. They get kicked out on the street. Well, that trafficker is right there. And we have a large number of young men out there on the streets in the United States that happen to be gay, and they are just being abused by the traffickers. You know, but people don't want to talk about that. I mean, it's like, oh, you know, and but it's like, come on, we've got to talk about that. Those kids are out there, and they are just being preyed upon because they choose a different way of loving. You know, I mean, hello. You know, it's like, who named you God? That's what I'm always saying. I do get in trouble sometimes because my mouth will get me, you know, because I challenge people. I mean, I'm like, hello. I challenge people. I had to go to Florida, and I had to jerk my own granddaughter up out of drugs and trafficking. And I want to tell you, if I had ran into the traffickers, I would probably be in jail for murder because I'd probably killed them. But I jerked her up out of there and brought her to West Virginia and educated her and got her turned around. And now she's educating young people in Sarasota, Florida. But the thing is, you've got to get uncomfortable. You've got to get out of your houses. You've got to get out in your community. And you can't just talk. You've got to do action. That is one of the things I'm always saying. I mean, people will do this talking and do these workshops and do this, but I go, what's the action? What are you doing next? What are you doing next? You've got to do action. You can do all the education you want, but you've got to do an action because action is where it's at.
What sort of action do you propose? Okay. What sort of action do you have in mind?
Well, like getting to know your neighbors, you know, really getting to know your neighbors, getting to know your neighborhood. And I don't mean, you know, what happened to baking some cookies and going next door and saying, hi, my name is so-and-so, and my hobbies are, and just get to know people. You know, getting to know people. Not just your little group, but getting to know, you know, the smelly person that doesn't take a bath too much. I mean, sometimes those are the biggest teddy bears you've ever seen. Doing that action, you know, the people are so into, we are so into, just into our little place, you know. I choose to go to the laundromat to wash my clothes because the laundromat has all these people and you can interact there, you know. But what if you don't ever leave? You just go to your own laundry room and do your laundry clothes. I mean, it's just, you've got to figure out your own, you know. I mean, it's like, come to know who that you can reach out to, you know. I mean, it's like Christmas time right now. Okay, well, it's Thanksgiving first, but Christmas is coming. Do you know that Christmas time is a highlight for traffickers? Because they know that poor families aren't going to have a lot of money for Christmas. They're going to walk in and start to lure and go, hey, you know, we can do this and we can do that. Like, let's take some pictures and that. Or can your son or daughter come and help me decorate a tree and the whole works? I can pay them, okay? And there it is. So, it's money.
Rita, so you've been... Rita, you've been working on this in the area here for quite a while now, I was wondering. So, have you been? I mean, as your personal experience, are folks calling you that have been involved in this from our area? And I would think you would now be a resource for that. They might reach out to. Has that been happening?
That has happened, and I'm very grateful for that. Not that I consider myself an expert by any means, because there is so much to learn that I don't think any of us will ever be experts. But I have been very blessed, because my husband works at the university, to have had kind of a support system of trying to reach the college students, because, you know, when you're 67 years old, you know that it's time to slowly but surely give the reins to the younger people and let them run with this, because we're giving them a broken world, but we got to give them the tools to try to figure out how to support it. Last year, we had what was called a teach-in on human trafficking, and so that we call that 101, and it was quite successful. And so we did a follow-up teach-in on October 17th we called it 102. And the good thing about it is that I'm finding a broadening in the state of West Virginia, just like I saw a broadening in Pittsburgh when I was there. You started very small, but then you connect with other people. And as you connect with other people, other churches, other concerned citizens, you find that there are truly things that you can do. Let me just take you back for a moment to Pittsburgh. Of course, my heart was broken for sex trafficking, because as a woman, I wanted to keep every woman safe. But my first opportunity to help somebody was actually a situation where two men from South America had been work trafficked, labor trafficked. And it was as little as my going once a week to a food bank at my church, picking up boxes of food, taking them downtown Pittsburgh to the university. There was a criminology professor at Carlo University, wonderful lady, who was really making a difference. And that is the point. One person can make a difference because one person can radiate through a community and things start to happen. Well, I would just take this food, clandestinely put it underneath a table that was covered with a tablecloth in the library. I never met these men, but I know over time they got legal status in the United States. They were able to get real jobs that really paid them and were able to bring their families. And then we had a wonderful opportunity to collect things for their families. One man, I think, had like five children or something. So we had a blast. I mean, our group just had so much fun welcoming these two men who I never actually met. But it was just this vicarious thing of knowing I can help somebody. And then it started to branch out into helping women. There was one young woman who'd been trafficked, who was pregnant. She had been set free. Of course, being set free by itself is only the beginning of a long path of healing. But she chose to keep that baby, regardless of how it began in this world. And so we had a blast throwing her a baby shower. Never met her. There's a certain amount of, you know, just honoring a person's privacy. And these are little things. Those little things became bigger things because one woman in Pittsburgh who had never had any abuse in her life, just her heart broke for this. And she said, I'm going to open up a house. And then all of us gathered around and we helped her to establish a thrift shop and to establish the basic financial means that she needed in order to create a safe home, because it's going to take a lot of healing and a lot of re-educating, because many of these victims have been 12, 13, 14 years old, pulled out of school. They need to finish high school. They need to get into future careers. They need to, you know, they're not dumb children. They can go to college. You know, all these things need to happen. So there's a lot that can be done. And Pittsburgh did a great job of it. And right. So as I saw that happen there, I was energized to believe it could happen here in West Virginia.
Right.
And one of the groups that I was able to first meet was Katie Spriggs and the Shenandoah Women's Shelter. And Katie is one of those one woman, one little, one person energy ball who she trained herself on human trafficking. She's a graduate of Shepherd University, but she trained herself. And then she started training the rest of the people at Shenandoah Women's Shelter. And at this point, when there is a call from the national hotline, it comes directly to the Shenandoah Women's Shelter because they are trained to help victims. Other places throughout the states have not yet been trained. And I am so grateful to the Rotary Club of Martinsburg and of Shepherdstown because they have this year, their eyes have been opened. They have seen what human trafficking really means and that it is in their communities. And so they are in the process of creating a matching grant that will bring training to counselors, like 70 counselors throughout the state of West Virginia. So when someone calls from that hotline in Washington, D.C., they can call throughout the state of West Virginia. Because we've had a double-edged problem. We've had a double-edged problem. First, when I first looked at the state, it looked like it was surrounded by angels. Because if you look at the map of trafficking calls that were placed, Maryland, Virginia, Pennsylvania, all of these states all had lots and lots of calls to the national hotline. West Virginia wasn't making any calls. Well, It wasn't because it was totally surrounded by angels and there were no problems. It was that no one knew that there was a hotline. Nobody knew that there was help out there if you just called or text that number. So our first
you want to mention that number while you're at it?
Certainly. 1-866 347-2423.
Okay.
Or there's another one. That's 1-888-373-7888.
Okay.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
They're trying to get these out into like public bathrooms, places like that. For you can text just help, H-E-L-P, or you can text info to be free, and that's 233-733.
233-733. Okay.
All right. This information is from Homeland Security.
We have about two more minutes on this tape, Rita. Mm-hmm. And while you're at it, conclude with other information for people that want to get more information. I'll be podcasting the show later today, and probably it might be tomorrow morning now. So just so you know that if people download it, they'll have a way to get a hold of you as well. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, they are welcome to reach out to me personally at ryneeman, N-I-E-M-A-N, at me.com. Or they can even call the number 330-352-8917.
Oh, that would be great. And is Penny also available for? Does she talk to groups that Faith communities in our area that would be interested, especially I think in hearing this story. Is she available? And does she have contact info, or should people just get a hold of you?
Penny, how do you feel about that, Penny?
You can call me, but my phone number is 304-886-5522, or you can email me at coffeehousefarm13 at gmail.com, and that's how people get a hold of me. And I do speaking, and I also have the workbook, and Northern Virginia sex trafficking just got 20 of the workbooks from me to take back and to give to their group that's there in Northern Virginia. So, yes. Anybody can call me. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Gail, go ahead, Gail.
John, do we have just another minute? This is Gail. I'd like Penny and Rita to mention there's a documentary that's to be screened tonight at Shepherd on a West Virginia town's opioid struggle. And Rita had mentioned to me that opioid abuse and trafficking are often linked. Would you want to give some quick information on how people can attend this screening?
Yes, I certainly would like to. The film is called Heroin, it is from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight in Reynolds Hall on Shepherd's University. If you don't know where Reynolds Hall is, if you can find the Shepherd Town Police Department, it's right across the street. It's a free
109
show.
North King Street, I believe, is the address.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Sure.
One of the things that we have found is a very, very strong link between addiction and human trafficking. It is definitely a very strong base, and we're very grateful that we had Dr. Didden talk as the public health expert in the area on this subject, and I believe he will be there this evening. So do come. I will be there. I'd love to meet some folks.
Yeah, the filmmaker, I understand, is based in West Virginia, Peabody Award-winning filmmaker, Elaine McMillian Sheldon, I believe, and the film's producer, Karen Sheldon, will also be at this discussion, I think. So there's going to be a Q&A afterward. Is that correct? And
I believe so.
I think they want to talk about the abuse of opioids in Jefferson and Berkeley counties. So that's a good. This is a good opportunity to get that in as well.
Yes. And if I can put one plug in.
Okay.
February 23rd, we will have an old-fashioned fuck up, which is a lot of fun because we don't want to just depress people all the time. We want to have some fun in the process. The sock hop will benefit the Shenandoah Women's Shelter when they overfill. Every $100 we raise that night will mean a safe night for a woman and her children. So mark your calendars. Friday, February 23rd. Have a lot of fun with us.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for dialing in today. All right. It's been
thank you.
It's been very educational and inspiring, the dedication that you guys have shown. All right. Gail, anything else before we go?
Thanks so much. Take care.
Okay. All right. Thanks so
much.
Thank
you.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Okay, Penny.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, we're going to pause on that one.